The very funny, Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney has a new show, everyone. It is called John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that will stream live on Netflix, live during the Netflix is a Joke Fest.
Yes, it is a comically unconventional show that will feature special guests.
I'm very excited for this.
Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix. Love starts with you. You heard me. Show off your personal style with new Pandora jewelry pieces that set a shining example for the world to see. From big feelings to small messages, beautiful hand-finished jewelry from Pandora radiates with your love from every angle.
Pandora has a huge selection of rings, bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and charms. There are endless ways to show what's in your heart. Shop now at pandora.net. Pandora, be love. I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
We were on The Office together.
And we're best friends.
And now we're doing the ultimate Office rewatch podcast just for you.
Each week, we will break down an episode of The Office and give exclusive behind-the-scenes stories that only 2 people who were there can tell you.
We're the Office ladies. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
We are very excited about today's episode. So we have arrived in our rewatch to Threat Level Midnight, but we are not breaking that down this week.
No.
We're actually going to be breaking that down next week with writer BJ Novak.
Yes!
So if you do not already subscribe to Office Ladies, you might want to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss that one.
Yes, and go over to Office Ladies on Instagram because we're going to be posting lots of photos and behind-the-scenes stuff. But I think we need to talk about what's about to happen today. This week, we thought we might reach out to someone who loved this episode of The Office and is a huge Office fan, so much so, she even sampled the episode in one of her songs.
Let's hear it.
No, Billy, I haven't done that dance since my wife died.
There's a whole crowd of people out there who need to learn how to do the scarn.
Don't ask questions, you don't wanna know. My lesson, way too long ago, to be talking to you, Belladonna. Should have taken a break, not an Oxford comma. Take what I want when I wanna, and I want you.
That's right. Billie Eilish is in the studio today to have a conversation with us about her love of The Office.
Oh my gosh!
I know, I can't believe it. You guys obviously know Billie Eilish from her amazing music career. At just 20 years old, she has won multiple Grammys. She's won an Academy Award.
I mean, People's Choice Awards, Kids' Choice Awards, Billboard Music Awards, iHeart Music Awards.
Name an award, and she has probably won it. She also is a director. She directs her music videos. She has a book. She has a fragrance. Her new album is called Happier Than Ever. It is out now. You can find out about all this stuff on her website, BillieEilish.com, including her tour dates.
And she's a super fan of The Office.
Like, super fan.
Super, super fan. And we are super fans of hers.
So much so that we brought our kids in today.
Yes.
And here they are. They're in the studio. You guys want to say hi?
Hi.
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 Hello.
Hi.
Aww.
Ah, those are our kiddos. Yay.
Are you guys excited to meet Billy?
Yes.
We are too.
Yeah, for about a year now, Harper, you've been asking me
what?
When can
we meet Billy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said if Billy ever comes on the podcast, can I please come meet her?
Well, we should probably scooch on out of here because we just got a text that she's moments away.
Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back, Billie Eilish is going to be here.
Woo! Yay!
Yeah! So this winter, we went on a little ski trip with another family and we got an Airbnb, which was so wonderful, right? Because you can make your own breakfast in the morning. We could even go there for lunch to warm up.
Listen, I always want a kitchen with kids.
Yep.
I don't want to call room service for some sliced apples. I want to have my groceries. I need a kitchen.
Yes. Well, this is why doing the Airbnb thing was so perfect.
Yep.
Well, this family we were staying with told us that they listed their house on Airbnb back in California.
Oh, that's so smart. I know a lot of people that do this. It's like, oh, we want to go to Disneyland. We can Airbnb our place and then use that money to go.
It pays for your trip.
Yep. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money.
So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Office Ladies is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online.
And with Squarespace, it is easy to create a beautiful website and design it exactly the way you want it. Our Office Ladies website uses Squarespace.
Mm-hmm.
We love it.
So they've got some new features. They have this new thing called the Fluid Engine. It is a next generation website design system from Squarespace. It has really awesome drop and drag technology, which makes it so easy. And they have the new asset library where you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the whole Squarespace platform.
Get started with one of Squarespace's professional website templates with designs for every category. You can customize your look, update content, and add features to fit your unique needs.
Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/officeladies to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them, thanks to Indeed.
Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This is according to a recent Indeed survey.
So ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster.
In the minute we've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed Data Worldwide. Do you like how I'm giving you all the stats?
I love it. You squeezed a stat in there. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Office Ladies.
Just go to Indeed.com/Office Ladies right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast.
Indeed.com/Office Ladies. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Is here today on Office Ladies.
Billie Eilish is here.
I'm here. Hi, guys.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
In studio, right here, right with us.
We're really together. Excited to talk all things office with you.
Oh, me too.
Where baby. Should we start?
Oh, my gosh. Wherever you would like.
Okay, I'm going to kick us off. How did you discover The Office? Was it with your family? Did you watch it with your folks?
Well, okay, so as a little kid, mm-hmm. when this was all starting, I didn't watch it as a kid because it's not a kid show.
It's but not
I
would, super appropriate.
No, it's not. But I would hear it all the time and I would hear people talk about it, and That's What She Said was constantly being said. And I remember it was a really big part of my childhood was not understanding what That's What She Said meant.
Oh, no.
And I'd get very, very frustrated. And I would ask people, what does that mean? Nobody would explain it to me. I don't ever remember hearing the first time about The Office. Like, it was just, I just knew about it forever.
It was like the beginning.
Yeah,
it
I don't was remember. Part of you. I don't yeah. remember finding it. I don't remember hearing about it. It was just part of life. It was like, you learn to speak and you don't, there's not like a day right. that you learn right. to speak. You're just it's speaking. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that was kind of with The Office. And then I just didn't understand That's What She Said. And I remember there was a specific moment. I must have been 9 years old. And I was sitting in my kitchen and my mom had a bunch of people over that I didn't really know. And somebody said something and somebody said That's What She Said. And everybody laughed. And I remember understanding it for the first time
oh.
and being like, let's fucking go. Let's go. I figured it out. And then that was like, I was like, oh, okay, got it.
And then
got
you were it. Like, TWSS.
Got it. Yes. And then I got like into that. And then I must have started watching it when I was probably 11.
Do you remember the first episode you saw?
I think I started it from the beginning.
Really?
I've seen it now, I believe, about 30 times.
30 times?
All the way through.
You're a purist.
yeah.
Do you only watch it in order? Do you skip
yeah.
around?
I sometimes I skip specific episodes.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
It's honestly like Scott's Tots. I can't handle it.
Oh,
is that the cringiest for you?
Can't do it.
It's so cringe.
It's just the secondhand embarrassment. I just can't handle it.
When we've been doing our rewatch, the one that hit me hard was Prince Family Paper.
Yeah.
That broke
when
my
they,
heart.
Absolutely. When they take down that sweet family paper company.
And how bad he feels about it.
I mean.
It's heartbreaking.
I don't think I could watch that one again. Yeah. I think I'd have to skip it. That was hard for me.
Well, so for you guys, have you guys watched it all the way through fully or no?
Okay, this might break your spirit.
No, it's okay. I get
it. We are rewatching it for the first time all the way through together. I mean, we'll catch an episode here or there, like on a plane, or maybe it'll come up on Comedy Central, or you know what I mean, over the years. But this is the first time I have sat down and done
actually
a full rewatch.
Okay. Yeah, watched it in order from beginning to end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it originally aired, we would get together as a cast, and we would have cast screenings on Thursday nights.
Of course.
And watch it in each other's living rooms. And so I saw most of the episodes then, but I didn't watch every single episode. And so there's going to be a few that I haven't seen before. I'll be seeing them for the first time, which is crazy.
It is crazy.
Oh my God. You haven't seen all of them?
Not all of them. I would say 98%.
Yeah. We tried to watch everyone when they aired. But it is very surreal because you're watching a version of you from, oh my God, what is it, 15 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. You know? I mean, who was the kid that came up to you and was like, you look like an older version of Pam? And you were like, I am
an older version of Pam. Yeah.
Oh, no.
He said.
When was that?
I was in a Target and he was like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever told you you look like an older version of the person who played Pam on The Office? And I said, I am an older version of the person who played Pam on The Office.
Oh, my God.
And he kind of didn't believe me. He wasn't sure.
Yeah, no, they don't. But this happens.
A lot of people discovered the show through streaming and don't really have a concept of like how old it is, how far it goes back.
I know, because it hasn't really aged. I don't feel like it's aged much. It doesn't feel like an old show to me. There's some shows you watch and it's like, this feels old. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe like people, because of the way the world is, it's aged in terms of humor.
We say entertainment was a timestamp of when it was made.
That's all I think it would be, but it hasn't aged. It's aged very well, in my opinion.
Yeah, it holds up.
It does.
Right?
It cracks me up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Billy, I have a question. This is from my daughter, Harper. Uh-huh. She would like to know, if you could only watch one episode of The Office for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
Oh my God, I wouldn't want to watch just one for the rest of my life. I've thought about this a lot, though. Honestly, rewatching it, I fall in love with different parts of it and different episodes every time. But my favorite... Kind of. One of my favorites, was my favorite for a long time, was Beach Games. That one really gets
so
me.
Fun.
Yeah. Oh, it just gets me. Oh. That the scene where the scene where Andy is in the sumo suit and then he's like so sad and it's this really it like hurts my stomach. Like the way he's looking at the water. And he slowly just wants to touch the water and then he falls in and then you're there. And you're like,
I can't hear you. What?
So
he's like,
good.
Get help. Poor Ed Helms.
You know, that's really Ed. And even when he's floating far away, it was not a double.
Wow.
He just floated Ed out in that river.
There was a man in a little like rowboat thing with a rope tied to Ed. And he would like pull him out.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I loved that. I got to walk across the hot coals.
Uh-huh.
I know.
Was it actually hot coals?
No. Did I make you believe it was?
Yeah, you did.
Well, tell her what it was, because I think it's just as painful.
It was. So it was like real lava rocks over. They dug a ditch in the ground and then they kind of filled it with some lights, with gels to give it that glow. And then on top of that, they put like real lava rocks. And then along the side were real flames. So
it was still really warm.
It was. Sort of warm, like they were very specific. Do not get near the edges of this fire walk thing, this coal walk.
You saw your bare feet on little sharp little rocks.
Thank you. I say it was like running over a bunch of Lego.
Yeah.
Eek.
How I get feels. That. Mm-hmm. It was painful, but not because it was hot, just because it was like digging
rocks.
Into my feet.
Yeah. And how many times did you do it?
I think we did about three takes.
Okay.
Yeah, so not too bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And it was cold. Super cold.
What was your guys's, like, what was your favorite episode to shoot?
Oh, I love this question because it's not what our favorite episode is.
Right.
Because filming it.
That's what I mean.
Right?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because that's another question of, like, what is your favorite episode? What's your favorite episode that you shot?
You got a lot of big questions.
I think I can actually sum it up into one answer.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm going to say Dundee's because we were out of the office kind of for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on a location and it had a slumber party feel to it because we didn't really have trailers or anywhere to go. And we were just hanging in that
restaurant,
fake Chili's.
Yeah.
And
for like, you know, 12 hours.
Yeah.
We were just in that one room.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just fun and funny and nonstop. And I got to be drunk.
Yeah.
Or pretend to be.
Steve kept improvising with Rain on that keyboard, you know, like Dwight would do different things.
Yeah.
And we kept cracking up.
Well, don't give Rain Wilson a keyboard that makes fart sounds.
No.
Unless.
Or a burp noise.
Yeah.
No.
That was
just, he was just going crazy with it.
To the point where I think they were like, hey, Rain, can you
have
let
to
Steve
that?
Get through one
no,
without
I,
the sound effect?
No, I totally remember because Steve, as Michael was making a speech and Rain kept hitting the, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
They were like, okay. You have to stop.
Yeah.
So that's your favorite to film and maybe one of your favorite episodes?
Yeah. And here's the crazy thing because, you know, there was a big debate on that episode because we thought it might be the last episode of The Office that ever aired.
Mm.
Because.
What?
Yeah. For that season, we only got picked up for 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't looking great. And so we had this big debate.
Can you believe that when you think about it
now? It's weird now, but that was our life for the first 2 seasons.
At the end of the 6 episode, they had our names, you know, on paper that they had laminated and Velcroed to our trailer doors. And I went and I un-Velcroed my paper laminated name. I was like, well, that was fun. I'm going to take this
home.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah.
After the 6 episodes?
Yeah.
This was this was our season 2 pickup.
Yeah.
And we thought maybe Dundee's would be our farewell. And I remember standing in the parking lot with Greg Daniels and saying, do we think Jim and Pam should kiss outside of the Dundee's just in case there's no more episodes of The Office? Like, should we have it as an alt?
Yeah, yeah.
And then if they cancel the show, you can put that scene in. And if they don't cancel the show, we'll save it. And Greg said, no, we're not going to give them the option. If they want to see you two kiss, they're going to have to pick up the show.
Yes.
We're not going to give them the footage.
That's right.
But hold up. Pam does kiss Jim.
She does kiss Jim.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think they don't kiss till casino night.
Are you crazy? She kisses
literally
you.
Literally I know,
you,
but it was like a sloppy fall into you kiss. It wasn't like kiss.
Okay.
I know. John and I argued about this too.
You say Jim and Pam's first kiss is casino night?
Yes.
Well, that's their first, like, intentional together, you know, consensual kiss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or their first, like, passionate, really, whatever. And yeah, I guess in Dundee's, it's more you're
it's
drunk
like,
and you
like,
love him and he's your friend and you hug
like
him.
My mouth is falling onto his mouth.
Okay, well, you better.
You know what I mean? Like, that's like.
I don't know about this part. The argument is getting weaker for me.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No, but, you know, when we talked to John about it, John was like, from Jim's perspective.
They kissed.
From this girl that he's liked forever.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you? Yeah, I would agree with Jim's perspective.
Yeah.
I hear it all. What about you, Ant? What's your favorite episode to shoot and or to?
Oh, man, this is so hard. I loved filming the Christmas episodes. They were so huge. My character always lost her mind. You know what I
every
mean?
Time.
Just screaming and throwing ornaments and stomping. And I loved all of that. So filming Christmas was really fun. I loved the scene in Yankee Swap when we all sat in a circle and traded gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that jazz poster, babies playing jazz instruments.
Some people like these. Yes. Such a good line.
Oh my. And it hung by my desk for like years.
Yeah.
I have one at home. I do.
But
I feel weird putting it up because it is babies like with the, you know, playing instruments.
Yeah.
Okay. But what my favorite episode is changing all the time.
See,
now that we're
watching
it.
I feel the same.
And I rewatched, oh God, it was so funny. With my daughter, I rewatched the deposition. My character is barely in it. Like, yeah. Really, I don't think I have a single line in it. Jan in that deposition. And then when they get Michael's journal, and his journal is so dorky, but it's like, I'm dorky when I journal.
Oh, we know, Ange.
Oh, it's really
a journal.
Listen. You do?
I do.
Okay.
You've made Angela so happy. I journal too, but she is such a dorky journaler.
Well, oh my God. We brought in one of my journals that I wrote in my 20s, and I was interning on Conan. I was living in New York, and I literally wrote something like, "You'll never believe what happened today, but I gotta run. Stay tuned. I'll fill you in later. XOXO, Angela." Like, right? But that's like, yeah. Who am I writing to?
I'm You're such a dork. To yourself.
I know.
Your future self.
Oh, it's so
It's a
dorky.
Big deal. It's cute.
Do you journal? Like, what do you journal? Is it
journal,
like free association?
I journal on my phone because it's easier for me.
Oh yeah.
I'm not a fast writer, and I just journal anything that I think because. I've noticed in my life that, you know, you get excited and you tend to lie to yourself about your life and your situation and like how you feel about stuff because you really want to feel something.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, if I just say that's how I feel, then that's how I feel. I've been journaling for a while, but this year I was specifically like, you know what? I feel like I've done a lot of lying to myself about how I'm really feeling. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to. Because I'm like, because I'm worried people are going to find it or post it or like mm-hmm. tell somebody. Because that's a big fear of having this kind of life.
Yeah.
And so I just made a decision to just write down every thought like with the comfort that no one's going to read it. No one's ever going to know.
Right.
I'm not going to have to worry about it. It's just for me.
Right.
So I just write freely anything that I think, which is dangerous for sure. But it feels really good.
It's
feels
healthy.
A lot better. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I have those journals. I have those journals from my 20s, especially, mm-hmm. where I lay it all out. Mm-hmm. And I do have a slight fear that, like,
yeah,
I'm going to pass away and, like, my kids are going to find
it.
And these are not all the things that my kids need to know about me. Mm-hmm. So I have an agreement with Angela.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a special cabinet and I showed Angela where they were.
Okay.
And so if anything happens to me, it is Angela's job to go in and burn the journals.
And destroy them.
Because they
destroy them.
They're for me.
That's what she said. Oh, my God, dude. But this is your legacy, though. Like, you're you. People want your words after you pass on, dude.
Do I want people to have me? I don't know. It's mostly like, that's for me. Like, and I like to go back and reflect. Like, I like
Same.
To go back and
me
be
too.
Like, what was my mind at 27? Where was I? What did I care about? What was I interested in? What was I worried about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you see patterns over time when you review your journals. I see habits of thinking, habits of behavior. It's really fascinating, you know?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But it's so personal. I'm not sure. Like, in order to give me the freedom to really write it down, I need to know that Angela's going to burn them if anything happens
and
to me.
I told her I will torch them.
It's a best friend agreement.
Day
I mean, that's
come.
Really sweet. So
yeah.
I'm glad you guys
You need a BFF who can torch.
I know. The problem is mine are all digital. So that's an issue.
Well,
it exists forever.
It does. And I've started a few years ago. I know I'm like a dinosaur, but that notes app on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to write comedy. I love to like study people. So I have a whole notes on my phone. Jenna, I don't even know if I've ever shared this with you, of just observations of people, situations, things that I might find funny.
I have a handwritten notebook of that.
You do?
Yeah. I wrote one down the other day. I said, in case I ever need to play characters,
yeah.
I can look at all these notes. Woman who reapplies her lipstick immediately after finishing a meal. That's a person.
It is.
Wait, that's a thing.
That's a full character. I have a question for both of you because I know what some of this stuff is like. What did you hate doing or like the process of making?
By the end of the run, it was less fun to sit in the background of all the scenes.
I think about that a lot when I'm watching because you guys really be doing that.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are in the back of a lot of shots.
Yeah.
Everybody. Like all of the one-offs, like the talking heads.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even think when you're watching it. Honestly, I don't even think about it unless like I religiously watch like the bloopers of all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I notice. I'm like, oh my God.
Leslie David Baker and Creed
yeah,
are
right
in the back.
There. Yeah. In the back of every single one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh, for 9 years.
For 9 years. Mm-hmm. I sometimes lucked out because I was behind a partition. And so I could be like, that's come on, guys. You can't see Angela right now. Come on. You can barely see me when I stand up. I know for me, the thing that really got old was the fake pregnant belly. Because had a bodysuit with the belly and it was itchy and heavy. And Jenna had it first.
Right.
And she was really griping about it. And I was like, okay, all right. It can't be that bad.
Oh, God.
And then I had it. And I was like, are you kidding me with this thing? Like, to go pee, forget it. Your mic.
It was 20 minutes to get out of it.
Under this pillow thing.
Wow. So it's not just a belly. It's like a full piece.
It's like a
wetsuit.
But then a little pocket that a belly goes
in. So your legs and your arms are in that thing.
Yeah.
You step into it, right? And how about this? We haven't gotten there yet, but when Robert California has this big party, we all go in the swimming pool and they had me swim with that fake belly. Guess what? It absorbs water. I was like, oh, blah. I was like, oh my God.
I'm shocked you didn't sink to the bottom with your tiny self.
I know. I got a good core workout. Do you have a favorite season of The Office?
I do.
You do? What is it?
Okay. 3, 4, and also 5, but 3 and 4 are like unbelievable. 5 is also incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. But 3 and 4, like, it's just like Jim and Pam get together around there. Mm-hmm. Things are good. Mm-hmm. We're like, Michael's not leaving yet. We're in a good zone, man.
Yeah.
There's not conflict as much yet. There's not like the senator yet.
Yeah.
There's not Robert California yet. There's not Joe. There's not Gabe yet. And it stays really good. But those just couple seasons are just like,
yeah,
happiness.
Can I bring you into a controversy?
Yeah,
what?
Please.
Do you think that it was okay that Jim bought his parents' house in Frametopia without telling Pam first? Where do you stand?
Interesting.
Romantic or controlling?
I don't love it, but also people in their relationships have their own what's okay and what's not.
That's a great answer.
Even though these are not real characters, they are in the show, and it's up to Pam whether it was okay or not. Not me.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
And I think it made Pam's like life. She felt so taken care of.
And also what I liked was that at first you're like, you thought this without telling me? And like, look at all these weird things going on. And and you have this whole concern and everyone that's watching is like, yeah, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then it's this like very sweet, touching moment of you being like, I love it. Like, look at this. Like, I don't even care about any of the anything, but you bought me this, you know? You bought me a house. It's amazing. So it's like, I think you can see it from both sides. Like, I wouldn't want someone to do that in my life, but also it's like, it depends on the situation and the person and your life and the thing, you know?
And I think also what came before it was Roy, who was so noncommittal. They were engaged for so long.
Roy sucks.
And then you meet and then you meet Jim, who's like all in.
Yeah.
And how good that must have felt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
it's true, actually. And someone who didn't do anything for Pam ever. And then it's like, yeah, maybe it's so far the other direction that it could be too far, but it's so nothing like she's ever experience that it's like really touching to do that, you know, which is sweet.
It's interesting because when that episode came up, I said, and we've had these conversations before, what do you do when something has been written for your character?
Yeah, that you don't agree with.
Yeah, that you're like, how do I get behind this? I don't know how to wrap my head around it. And Greg said something similar, which is that Jenna wouldn't like this, but Pam does.
Mm-hmm.
And very similarly, Jenna does not like being tickled. But Pam seemed to respond well to it. When Roy tickles her, she would always like come around. She liked being tickled. And I was like, but this one's really difficult for me because I have a physical, like,
you and my mom
visceral response to tickling that just causes sort of rage.
Oh my God, dude. My mother is over there.
Is this true?
My mom will.
I'm getting a thumbs up from your mom.
Furious.
I have to resist with all my might. Hitting the person with tickling.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Tickling is a serious thing. My brother tickled me. We were in anthropology when I was a little kid, and my brother started tickling me, and I had an overreaction to make him feel bad. I was like, oh my God, stop! And I like swung my whole body, and I bonked myself on the corner of a table and gave myself a black eye.
Oh no!
And I always blamed him because he was tickling me.
Did he ever tickle you again?
Yeah.
Okay.
He did, but he was scared too, because I'd be like, I'll give myself a black eye and I'll blame it on you.
Yeah.
Older brother gets the punishment. But no, I agree that I'd be furious if somebody bought a house and didn't ask me or tell me.
Yeah.
Be furious.
Jenna wouldn't like that.
Yeah. But then it's also like funny when you sell the house. Telling him absolutely bonkers that happens. But so, then it's like you have a point. You're like, well, you bought it without telling me, so I thought I could sell it without telling you. Every time I hear that line, I'm like, unbelievable.
I know.
Unbelievable statement. You bought the house without telling me, so I thought I could sell it.
I know. It's a
you.
Weird bookend.
It's a crazy relationship.
Maybe there. She had been holding on to it a little bit. I don't know. Clearly, yeah.
Clearly. Yeah. I mean, every week I had to like reconcile with a character that was very different from me. Like,
oh yeah.
All of my reactions, everything. So I can really relate to that. I mean, there were plenty of times where I was like, okay, can we dial Angela back just a little? Like, can she not always just be the bitch? And I loved that note that Ken Kwapis gave me. He was like, Angela, today why don't you try being the suspicious bitch? And I was like, ooh. She's totally different than like the
new
strict
twist.
Bitch, suspicious bitch.
Was there anything in Angela's character that you did like resonate with at all?
I mean, I do love animals. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I haven't ever licked my cat. I did really do that, Billy.
Yeah, I
really
was going to ask.
I really licked it.
I love that you did.
I mean, they were like, it's just one take. We're going to be a little bit closer. And I was like, oh, and then I licked the cat. But I also like Angela. She's very loyal. Like, yeah. You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't think she ever gave up on Dwight, even though they were such a weird on and off again romance. But mm-hmm. he was her soup snake. You know,
it's true.
So I guess those two things, but pretty much nothing else.
If you were an office character, which one would you be?
Good one. I've always really resonated with Michael's character.
Okay.
Which is maybe problematic. I've said that before to like my mom or like my parents and my brother and stuff. But it's really true. I see a lot of myself. Character and not some stuff, like more of just like, I can't even really explain it. There's just something that I really, really, really relate to about his character. One of my favorite moments is when he can't help but shout, that's what she said, even if he's like furious, like mm-hmm. when she yes. when she is just about to throw the dundee at the TV yeah. and they're having that argument.
Oh yeah.
And he's like so angry and he's clearly just so sad and like mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you're hardly my first. And he's so angry, but he has this need
yeah.
to say, that's what she said, because he knows I need to say it. And he just shouts it at her.
Michael also just has such a pure heart. He really does.
I know.
Yes.
He's pretty like just a person who just wants love and to be loved, but he goes about it so wonky. But I'm with you. Whenever he has to yell something, every time I lose it.
Oh, like it's so funny.
I hadn't seen him yell, I declare bankruptcy, until we rewatched it.
Yeah.
And just like his need to do that, to make this announcement is like amazing.
It just hurts my soul how he's like, that's how he thinks you declare bankruptcy.
I know.
You declare it out loud
yes,
in the room.
It's like, done.
Just,
I've done it.
I just yeah. feel that. Okay. And this is a part that I find. So starting to watch The Office at a really young age, I almost didn't understand any reference whatsoever. I just thought it was funny. And I thought, you know, it was funny. I just liked the show in general. But most of the references, I had no idea who anybody was, no idea what movies they were referencing. So something I do blame The Office for, to be honest, is, but then also I blame myself, but I blame The Office, is there's so many things that are said, especially by Michael in The Office, that he says wrong mm-hmm. on purpose, like written on purpose.
Yeah.
That I didn't even know the real word. So I said many words wrong because I learned them from Michael Scott.
Were you a little stitious?
I was a little. That one I knew. That one. I'm not a little stitious. That was one that I knew. And I was very proud that I knew that one. But like, insurmountable, to be honest. I thought that was a word. I thought,
oh no.
This has happened many times, guys.
I never thought about this filter of The Office that on a younger person, like, they're learning Michael's vocabulary.
Yes. Learning his vocabulary. Because I thought I was learning new words.
Oh my God.
Which I was. They were just wrong. And same when, you know, the joke when Aaron is like, my New Year's resolution was to learn a new word every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is going immensely.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. I was like, oh, cool. I'll start saying that. So now, because I have said so many things wrong. Mom, do you remember off the top of your head some more ones that I just said that everyone was like, what the hell?
I remember when you first heard that U2 was from Ireland.
Oh, you guys.
What?
Okay, this is the worst one. Sweet, sweet Bono is a supporter of mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love him.
My God.
And amazing. Bono.
Yeah. My God.
Here's the issue, guys.
What? What?
Literally in June, this last June, we were in Ireland.
So very recently.
We were in Ireland and I get, oh God, I'm in my hotel. And I get flowers delivered to my hotel room and it has a little letter on it. Mm-hmm. And it's this really, really sweet letter. And it says from Bono. And I was like, why would Bono, who's from Scranton?
You thought Bono was from Scranton, Pennsylvania?
Yes. I go, why would he send me something in Ireland? What does this have to judge? What does this have to do with him? And it was like, welcome to, like, it was something about like, welcome to my like, hometown
My
or something
home,
like
yeah.
that. But U2 is from Scranton. And I was like, I kept asking everyone, like, what is Bono doing sending me flowers all the way across the world?
From Scranton.
Why would he do that? What does this have to do with anything? And they were like, Billy, what are you talking about? They're Irish. And I was like, no, they're not.
Have you told him this story yet?
No.
Oh my God.
But it's because when Michael falls in love with Holly and mm-hmm. he's making her a mix. And frick, I blame John for this because Jim comes in and Michael goes, what's the band from Scranton that made it big? Is that U2? And Jim goes, yes. And then he sits down and he goes, you don't love Holly. That's all there is. It's not even, there's no pause. There's no laugh.
But if you've seen it 30 times, then guess what? U2 is from Scranton.
I thought it was like, honestly, in my head, I thought, Jim thought, oh, that's a stupid question because obviously they're the band that made it big from Scranton. I thought it was like the question, like, is, you know, I don't even know, like is,
yeah.
is so-and-so that's very obviously from this place.
Yeah.
Are they from that place? You're like,
right.
Be like, yeah, obviously. I thought that was the vibe instead of, no, not at all. Their whole thing is that they're Irish. This is in June. I didn't know. Like, I could have been in an interview. Somebody could have asked me about U2 and Bono, and I could have been like,
okay.
Well, it's really cool because
Here's the thing. We are going to give you our phone numbers. Anytime you come up on something like, is this just text us. We're like,
we'll
your
let you know.
We're like your office
yeah,
aunties.
Yeah, I'm going to need to do that.
Listen to this, because this sounds amazing to me. Ready?
Okay.
In a world that stops for no one, with life dominated by screens, there's still a place filled with endless reasons to put the phone down and pick up life. Doesn't that sound lovely?
Where are we talking about?
South Dakota.
That's where Lee was born!
Really?
South Dakota!
How did I not know that?
I don't know.
I didn't know he was born in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. He has family there.
Well, South Dakota is a great place to vacation and adventure. You can get worlds away from home in the Badlands, find peace among the pines and the Black Hills, and unwind with each bend of the Missouri River.
And if you're looking for love, you might find a Lee there.
Oh my gosh.
Made a good fella, South Dakota did.
From Sioux Falls to Deadwood, you'll find yourself getting lost in a place that brings you closer to the world around you.
You can immerse yourself in the creativity of both contemporary and traditional crafts.
See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone.
With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick.
It's really kind of amazing.
Yeah.
you just add this stuff to your water,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Now that's you're it. Extra hydrated.
It's great for daily use before a workout or when you feel run down after a long night out or on a long flight. I just put a few in my purse.
What's that flavor that you like, Ange?
I like lemon lime.
Yes.
Very refreshing.
Okay, so lemon lime from Angela. I like the watermelon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code OfficeLadies at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code OfficeLadies at liquidiv.com. How much do you watch The Office? Because I read in an interview that it's like all the time.
Okay, so I play it. It's playing only on my phone. I don't watch it on anything else. It's playing on my phone at all times when I'm doing anything, when I'm like in the shower. I have it sitting outside the shower. I can't have any silence, guys. It's like right outside the shower. It's like when I'm getting dressed, when I'm eating food, when I put on makeup, when I do my hair, when I like it's like truly playing always just in my hair. Like I'll just honestly, I was like rearranging my closet a couple months ago or maybe longer ago. And it was just in my pocket. I couldn't even see it. It was just in my pocket and the audio was playing. And it's like, I listen to it like it's a podcast. Like also because I've seen it so many times, I have it all memorized, like all the lines memorized and all the visuals memorized. Yeah. So I can picture it. I'm not missing
anything.
I don't even need to look at it.
This makes something your mom said to me when we met, when you got here, make perfect sense. Maggie said to me, I feel like I know you guys because I hear your voices all the time. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, all the time?
Yes, all the time. And, you know, I don't live at home anymore. But when I lived at home, it's just, you can just hear it. And I also have like weird needs. Again, I have a need to like, if I'm eating, I have to have The Office playing or something playing, preferably The Office and silence otherwise. Like nobody, if you talk to me, I'm not there. I'm not there. Yeah. And so, but when I was living at home, I'd be like going into my parents' kitchen where my parents were and being like, shh, turning on The Office and eating and being like, don't talk to me. I'm watching The Office. I'm eating my waffles. Leave me alone.
Maggie, we love you. We love you guys. Parents are amazing. Okay. Oh, actually, Jenna, I'm curious. So you're Michael Scott, right, yeah. Billy? Which Office character are you?
Me? Who am I most like?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I'm most like Pam. Mm-hmm. Like there was so much of me that was Pam and so much of my early life as a struggling actress that I brought to Pam. Mm. I mean, I literally know what it feels like to sit at a reception desk and wish that I had an artistic career because I was totally a receptionist. So I know that longing and I know that feeling of wanting something to change, but feeling like I'm in a place where nothing ever changes. So I definitely could relate to that. But I am an action person. So I am not a wait for it to come to me person. And I feel like Pam, it was harder for her to get herself started or take movement, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just much more ambitious than Pam. I always say it would not have taken me like 3 years to kiss the cutie in The Office.
Right.
We're not waiting that long for that. Yeah. Like that's happening much sooner. Mm-hmm. Would have happened at the Dundies,
right,
probably if I were in charge. Like for reals though, you know, not the falling onto his lips kiss. Yeah. But I also think I have a tiny bit of Ryan in me. I have a lot of falling.
She loves Ryan.
I have fallen in love with Ryan on this rewatch.
Which version of him? There's serious
talk
different
about
versions.
So many versions.
Yeah, those
of a
are
character.
Different. Those are like it's like he's playing different characters.
I think my favorite is Ryan the temp. Mm-hmm. So I
the
like
OG.
Early Ryan. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's just, I have a lot of entrepreneurial ideas that go nowhere. You know, gadgets that I've invented in my mind and things that, you know, never get made and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed on the podcast before that with my high school best friend, we invented something called the tan baster. It is, it's a way to put on a suntanning lotion without getting your hands dirty. Mm-hmm. It's called the tan
baster. How do you do it?
You know the thing that you wash dishes with that like fills with dish soap and then has a sponge on the end? So it's very similar, but with suntan lotion. And then you can also get the middle of your back with it. You know what I'm saying?
Look how
the tan baster.
She is about this thing.
Oh, bless your heart.
The tan baster.
Someday I need you.
Let's figure this out.
Yeah, I need you on HGTV.
Tank, dude.
I don't know. I mean, I think I should call my friend and we should get it going.
Welcome
again.
To Celebrity Shark Tank. Today we have Jenna Fischer.
No. Can you imagine? She's made a so tan baster.
You should do it.
The
You're
looks
really
on
passionate about it. You're so passionate, man. You just described it for so long.
But what do you think? What's your honest opinion?
I don't know.
It's just not happening, is it? Don't send me on Shark Tank just to be humiliated.
There's lots of other inventions that do well that are stupider.
Oh,
my God.
It's not a bad idea. It's really not. I mean, I totally get it. Like, you know, you get your hands all gross when you, I get it.
Especially at the beach. And then you've got sand on your hands.
I think you need to let it go. I think you need to let it go.
One day, maybe. I'll have time.
You know what? Tans are going to come back into fashion. And when they do, I don't think tans are in fashion anymore.
No, it's for the suntan lotion. It's for the
sunscreen.
SPF, the sunscreen. I'm sorry.
Okay, sunscreen.
Yes.
All of these years you have told me about this. I thought it's like a spray tan in a tube.
No, lady.
It's applying sunscreen.
I thought this is such an uneven tan. It looks like from a sponge.
Well, that would be true if that's what it was for.
Okay. Are you behind it now that you understand
it's sunscreen.
I want you to go for this now.
Applying sunscreen.
I want
what
you
about
to do
your
it.
Face?
It doesn't work on the face.
No squeegee
the
for
flaw.
The face?
Well, we already have those like, you know, deodorant sticks.
That's true.
That we can put on our face.
The problem is that the rubbing in is where you distribute it evenly. And so that you actually get all the little cracks and crevices.
Mm. Okay. All right. You know what?
When workshop.
When we're testing that in our focus groups, we're going to think about that. We're going to make sure that we get a sponge that can apply evenly.
So, Ryan, because of your ideas.
Thank you for bringing us back.
Sorry. Just had to come back.
Oh, my God.
Ryan, because of your ideas, what about you?
I think I'm a little, maybe a Phyllis Angela combo platter, maybe a little bit. I'm a little bit Angela. And then Phyllis has a little sass. You know, she like hooked up with Bob Vance in the bathroom.
She does.
I have a little
Phyllis
bit of that.
Phyllis is a freak.
A little bit. I might have a little bit of that combo in me.
Uh-huh.
What do you think, Jenna?
I think you are way more Phyllis than Angela. There's almost no Angela in Angela, except for maybe love of animals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I think Phyllis is a strong
maybe
choice.
With the side of Kelly, like chatty Kelly.
Yes, Angela's very chatty.
I get that
I do
one.
Like to chat.
Yeah, I get it. I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that for sure.
Like, I could go to your family reunion and I wouldn't have a problem. I wouldn't miss a beat.
Wow.
I could go to your cousin's wedding. I'd
well,
have the time of my life.
I think that's also like you're a good hang. That's what that is also.
Thanks, Billy.
That's a good thing. That's
oh
a good
my
thing.
Gosh.
When you can just fit right in anywhere, you're good.
Oh, I have a thing.
What is it?
Okay. Okay, I just got very excited about this. So how many cast members have you met from The Office?
So I've met Creed.
Yes.
I've met Rain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting? I've spoken on the phone with Steve and
Brian.
Yes, with Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Steve and Brian. I think that, I've met Mindy and I've met BJ.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, actually, okay, so two interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I think I must have been, I'm four and a half years younger than my brother, and he was probably 13 or 14. So I was some years younger than that. My brother was in Bad Teacher, which is with Cameron Diaz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like a little kid. And I remember going to hang out on set at one point and standing in craft services. And Phyllis...
Yeah.
I was right there. And I hadn't seen The Office. I was like, I must have been like, you know, I was probably like 8 or 9 or something. Mm-hmm. And she was standing there. And I remember somebody saying like, she's in The Office. And I remember thinking, The Office, like, I know that show. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I've never seen it, but that's really cool. And I remember standing right next to her. Like she was right here and she was eating chips or something. And she was having a conversation with somebody. And I just remember looking up at her and being like,
she's a star.
And like, just looking at her. And she doesn't know that. I don't think I've ever spoken to her. That was like a big deal for me. I talked about that for a long time after. And she has no idea that that little kid was me also. But, aww. And then the other thing is one of my mom's long lasting best friends is Amy Ryan.
Oh my Holly gosh. Flax.
Ah. So I grew up around Amy. Yeah. Ah. And so, you know, I knew her. We knew her like before she was obviously cast.
Yeah.
And then she was just like one of my mom's friends. And then she, once I started being a fan of The Office, it was hard for me to be around her.
Cause she was Holly.
Yeah, she was Holly right then too. Yeah. And I was like peak The Office was it. It was crazy. It was So she has been in my life for a long time, and she has a daughter who's a few years younger than me. And we would go to their house, and like I'd play with her daughter, and it was cool. Yeah, she's great. I love her. She's great.
I love Amy. Hearing that, Amy is amazing. You know, it's interesting because one of my daughter's friends recently started watching The Office. I have known this little girl. They're 14 now. I've known her since kindergarten. Uh-huh. Right. Best friend since kindergarten. She was over at the house the other day and she was like looking at me like this, like, oh my God. And I was like, I turned around. I was like, what's that? What's going on? And she's like, sorry, I started watching The Office. Oh my God. I was like, I have known you forever, but now I'm Angela Martin, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so funny.
You know what? The other one was I used to be a camp counselor and there was this girl and she was like my favorite student at the camp and her name was Piper. Mm-hmm. And I loved her to pieces. And her mom would come to pick her up every day. And I was like, that's Jan. That's literally Jan. And I was like, is your mom Jan? And she was like, yeah. That's so cool. It's Jan. And I tried not to freak her out because I'm sure she was annoyed with that a lot. But I think about her a lot. I hope she's doing well.
Okay. I have a message for you from Creed. Okay. So Creed is my neighbor.
Really?
He lives down the street from me.
No way.
Like walking distance.
Yeah. Like we sometimes we walk, we call it the sauce trail. We get an adult beverage and a red Solo cup and we go for a walk. And he often comes over and brings his guitar and like jams out. He'll be like, Andrew, I have a new album. You want to hear it? I'm like, yes. It's like one of the joys of my life. But we were texting because he loves animal documentaries. And he was texting me recently that he wants me to come watch one. And I said, have you met Billie Eilish? She's coming into the studio. We're so excited. And he wrote back and he said, yes, I have. I met her brother also. She's been ghosting me for a while. And then he called me and he said, I'm kidding, Pumpkin. I'm kidding. And I said, I figured you were kidding. And he said, I was blown away by her voice. I got to see her in concert. She's amazing. I love meeting Phineas too. And will you tell her that if she ever wants to talk music or jam, to come over, I'm around. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
I know.
I met him for like a split second. He came to one of my shows.
Yeah.
Like 3.5 years ago. And I was meeting a million people. And I was like, it's f***ing Creed. I know. I went over and I hugged him. It was really cool. But you know what's funny about, like, I love that his just all of his musical talent just comes throughout the show.
Yeah.
And what I think is really cool is, you know, when he's singing Spinning and Reeling with Love at the Christmas party, when everybody's doing karaoke, I love that that's in there because it's his song, but you don't know that. And you think he's just, honestly, because here's one more thing is that I watched that thinking this is probably a super famous song. Everybody knows. And he's doing a karaoke to it. And I always thought the song was really cool. And I find a lot of the music that I love through other things and like hearing it in the background of something and looking up the lyrics. And so I remember after a while being like, every time I watch that scene, I'm always like, oh, that song is really cool. I love whatever song this is. What song is this? And I looked it up, honestly, probably like last year, and I saw that it was his song. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
he's a great songwriter. So cool. He will just come over and play. And I mean, I'm always amazed. I'm amazed when I love to write, but it's always so interesting for me when people can put music to words because I can't hear music. That's such a gift. Like maybe maybe some
in another life, I'll get to hear music in my head like that, because that is so cool. And if you can't hear it, when you see people who can, it's like your little piece of magic that you get to witness. It's like so cool. So
yeah, wow. I'm the same way. My son is a musician. Right. He's a drummer and plays guitar. And from the time he was very little, he would be like 3 years old. We'd be driving somewhere, and from the back seat, he would say with his little voice, "Mama, you play a song with a lot of ride cymbal. Play a song with a lot of ride cymbal."
So, like, I'm wow.
And I would
what
say, and I said, I said, "Baby, I don't know. I don't know what song has a lot of ride cymbal in it." And then he, I mean, I'm going to get it wrong, but then he would say like some Green Day song.
Right.
And then I'd put it on and I'd be like, "Holy shit, there's a lot of ride cymbal in this song."
Wow.
And so it is true, because I'm seeing that in my own house with this person who can like hear music in a way that I just, you know, it's so specific.
It's so interesting hearing that you guys can't. Have you ever tried to write a song?
No, I haven't. I mean, I've written poetry and I've written, you know, I was a creative writing major, but I don't know that I can see it.
Well, this is actually a great segue into my next question, which is that you sampled part of the episode Threat Level Midnight.
I did.
For your song, My Strange Addiction.
I did.
How did that come about?
Well, first of all, I can't believe they let me do that, because that's wild to do that. Like, take audio from a show like The Office that's that big and that, I mean, come on. Ugh, it was crazy. It was such a pipe dream. I can't even tell you. It is
wild that they said yes, because we're going back now through emails from NBC and standards and practices and things like that. And they were super particular.
They were.
Yeah.
But I remember all of the people whose voices you hear, like Brian Baumgartner's on there, and
Ed Helms.
You hear Mindy, you hear John. Mm-hmm. I think you hear BJ, right?
Yep.
So I remember, and Steve, I remember each of those individuals had to give permission.
Yes, they did.
They were an enthusiastic yes. Yeah. So they
no
were
hesitation.
It was a, let me tell you, the Office text thread blew up.
Oh,
when,
yeah.
When that went out, like everyone was so excited.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It was very,
oh, that's
very
so cool. I mean, so the way that that happened was, Phineas, my brother, had written this song called My Strange Addiction, just the words and like the whole song. And he was like, "Billy, I wrote this song. Like, do you think it's cool?" And he played it for me, and he had this beat to it that was like so goofy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Dude, this reminds me of the song that they danced to, the Scarn.
The Scarn.
This reminds me of the Scarn." And he was like, "What are you talking about?" And I played the scene, and it just when he hits that button in the jukebox, and it's like, bow, 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 bow. It's like,
yeah.
And it's so like, it's so stupid, but it's so good. I was like, this is giving me that same feeling of like dumb, but kind of groovy as shit. And so we were like, oh my God, that would be so. And also the song is, it's, you know, kind of a play off of, you know, the show, My Strange Addiction. Do you guys know that show? Mm-hmm. And it's about people with these weird addictions to like weird stuff. You know, Phineas wrote the song, but it's kind of about like, you know, I've got an addiction, but it's to you. But I kind of was like, well, The Office is also my addiction.
Your addiction, yeah.
And this song is kind of goofy and it reminds me of that scene. And also then we were just watching the scene and it's like, the way that like Andy's voice sounds and the way that Steve is just the whole all the dialogue is so good. And we were like, dude, what? And we jokingly, truly, truly, truly jokingly like ripped the audio and just put it in the song. And then it was so perfect because Andy's name is Billy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Scene.
Yeah.
So then it's like, no, Billy, I haven't done that dance. It's my wife did. And we were like, oh, that'd be so crazy. Because
my name is Billy.
Yeah. And so we like put it to the song. And there was not any reality that it would work or like be okay. But we were like, this is so funny. And we like sent it to the label and we were like, dude, like, just can you just ask somebody? We know it's going to be a no, but just ask somebody. There's no way they're going to give us the rights to this at all. No way. And it was like, yeah, absolutely they're not, but we'll ask. Truly. And here
we
are.
And then we did it. You did it.
It's amazing. And it's really cute because, you know, the fans have that whole song memorized. And so when I do it live, They all shout all the parts.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Do they do their... I love... Ed Helms does a lot of great characters. You know, he's so funny like that.
So good.
And I loved Ed as Andy. Andy's version of what he thought that bartender was. Like, hey, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. Oh, it's so good, guys. Oh. Guys, I just love this. I just
this is,
say,
we're
I
having the best this. Time.
So I know. Cool. I'm
this
just
is
like
so cool.
I feel like I'm gonna have sore cheeks because I'm smiling.
I know
so much.
I feel the same. And I just there's a lot of things that I love in the world, and there's a lot of things that I'm passionate about. And I try not to be like a nerd about it. And truly, when I meet other people that like The Office, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't care. I'm like, I'm not trying to relate to people about it because it's my own personal thing. And in my head, no one else knows The Office except me. It's my show. It's not, I'm not in a club of people. I'm very pick me about it. I don't know if you guys know what that means, but I'm very like, no one's ever seen. It's like how you kind of like, you joke about like your boyfriend and no, he's never dated anybody but me.
Oh, right. I'm right.
The only person he's ever been with.
Right.
That's how I feel. The Office is like.
It was made for you.
Made for me. Mm-hmm. You guys shot for 9 years just for me.
On your phone.
Nobody's seen it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On my phone. But truly, like, I don't really talk about it like, oh, yeah, and my favorite show, The Office, da-da-da-da. It's truly, like, such a deeper thing than that, that when people are like, so I heard your favorite show is The Office, I'm like, don't say that. It's somehow disrespectful
it's sacred.
To me.
Yeah.
It's sacred. It's like a,
yeah.
It's truly like a sacred part of my personality and so much of who I am and the things that I do and say and think. Like, and also I base a lot of my life situations on TV shows and like scenes from stuff. And the amount of like one of my best friends, many times earlier this year, we'd be like in a really deep conversation about like something really serious in my life. And I'd just take a pause and she'd be like, oh my God, I know just what you're going to say. And I'll be like, well, but I have to, there's this one scene in The Office where like this is happening. And I use it as like a, this reminds me of that one scene and how they feel here. And I really feel like that right now. It's stupid, guys. Like you really have raised me in a way.
There are things that when they sort of get like, I don't know what the phrase is, but like kind of in your bones, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like then they become sacred to you. And like, if someone asks you about it, you're like, okay, first of all, how dare you?
I know.
That is mine.
I know.
But at the same time, you're like, okay, yes.
Let's talk about it. Yeah.
How well do you know it? Don't even come at me.
I know. Well, that's the other thing is people are like, I love that. And I'm like, I referenced the out of this show. And I'll go, does anybody in this room know The Office well enough to know like specific details? And people go like, yeah, for sure. And I'm like, I just know it's not true. I go, okay, so do you know in, you know, this one episode where Michael is like doing this and then he's doing this and then somebody comes in and everybody's like, no, sorry, I don't know. And also what's cool is my brother, who's seen The Office many times, he and his girlfriend, who's seen The Office kind of the way everybody has, where mm-hmm, you've mm-hmm. seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's never really watched it all the way through. And so they've been watching it all the way through for the first time, like as a whole, since it came out for Phineas too. And so for him, everything's really fresh. And so he's finally like, oh, Billy, we were watching the deposition the other day. And that one scene, what does he say? And I'm like, oh, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, so this and this. And also like, sometimes he'll reference something that he just watched and I'll immediately get the reference and be able to like recite the rest of the scene, which
it's like a whole new level of like, your siblinghood.
It really
you
is.
Have a whole new layer.
Like, wow, you can finally
you see me.
Yeah. Oh. It's cool.
Do you want to do a scene with us?
Oh, yes.
Do you want to be in a scene with us? We printed out a scene from the show.
Okay. First of all, Billy, I went to our actual shooting draft. So this is as we held it in our hands.
Wow.
Let's see. Oh my gosh. In 2004. This is from 2004.
I was two, you guys.
Oh my God. She was 2 years old. Look, I highlighted your parts. Jenna, you will play Pam.
Okay.
Wow.
Billy, you are going to play Phyllis. We are going to do the first ever party planning committee scene.
Oh, yeah. I know this scene quite well.
Season 1, episode 4, The Alliance.
Sure is.
Okay. I'm going to also read our stage direction. Party planning committee. Here we go. Interior conference room. Pam, Phyllis, and Angela, semicolon, the party committee.
Well, for decorations, maybe we could do... No, that's stupid. Forget it.
What?
Well, I was gonna say we could have streamers, but that's dumb. Everybody has streamers. Never mind.
No. Yeah. I think that's a good idea. What color do you guys think?
Well, there's green, blue, yellow, red.
How about green?
I think green is kind of whorish. You're officially in the PPC.
So scary.
We actually have for you.
What do you
since
have?
You are in the party planning committee now. We have a party planning committee sweatshirt for you. It's
there
you go. You can plan as many parties as you want. Or, however, are you the committee to plan parties?
Oh.
Which one are you?
Oh, gosh. The committee to plan parties was a pretty...
It's pretty good party planning.
Pretty good stuff.
I know.
Isn't it interesting, though, that the first time this scene was ever written, it's called the party committee.
The party committee. I know. One of my favorite lines of yours, it's your one-off and you're like, Michael should have asked the party planning committee first. He's not supposed to just spring things on us willy-nilly. And then you're like, the hand grab to your face of you crying is just, oh, it breaks my heart. Angela's whole just like clearly just like miserable life.
Repressed.
Yeah. Miserable self. Oh, and like when you throw that whole episode, oh my God. And the Yankee swap, just like how upset you are that it's not going how you wanted it to go.
Yeah.
And you had a whole idea for how it was supposed to go. And Michael's just ruining everything.
Yeah.
And then Dwight kisses Kelly and it's just
furious.
Horrible day for you. And you throw the ornaments.
Which by the way, we're supposed to shatter. But they didn't.
Yeah, they don't shatter.
I threw them and they,
well, that's
the first
why it's
take,
so funny.
I threw it and it bounced right back. And I was like trying to stay in character. But at the same time, I'm like, why the hell isn't this breaking? So then just in a pure rage, I just started screaming and stomping them. And that's what
no, you guys, made it your in. Character is just, everybody is Pam, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's everyone's Pam, you know?
Yeah.
And I also love the way that Roy is written because it's so perfectly, he's got charm to him. And he's got, like, you can see it. But also, he's so neglectful and, like, emotionally abusive that it's, like, you can totally see how you could get there.
You know, my dad had a saying for guys like that. He used to say, well, Ange, he's not a bad guy, but he's not worth much. And I'm like, that was Roy.
That was Roy.
It just made you feel, like, so shitty, you know? It's just like, so... Oh, God, it's so good. And it's just like everything about Pam is just so heartbreaking. And just like you really do it perfectly. Everything about it is perfect.
Thank you.
Guys, I'm serious. Like the show, it just can't be beat. It just really can't. I like a lot of shows, but it's just the one, guys. I'm serious.
We have two things we can do here. If you have any more questions for us, we've asked you all of our questions. So if you have any more questions for us, please ask.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we did prepare an office quiz that we would take against each other. And we don't know the answers. We don't know who would win.
Ooh.
Would you
by the way,
I would love to do that.
Okay. We haven't seen the questions. We don't know. Cassie prepared them. We haven't gotten to season 8 yet. If you ask me a question from season 8, I'm not even going to know because I haven't watched season 8 since we filmed it. So that's like...
Okay, so we'll intro the quiz then. We'll say
okay, so here's another interesting thing is that I just... Every time I watch it all the way through, because again, I start it from the beginning and I finish it every time. I can't believe I did
that.
So
where are you right now in this
finished
rewatch?
It. I finished it.
You just recently finished it again.
I finished it like... a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And every time I finish it, I take a couple weeks off and then I start it over.
Okay.
So I'm in my weeks off period.
Okay.
Which means it's not right here. It's here.
Billy, I'm pretty sure it's just in your DNA now.
I think it is.
I think.
But for instance, and I think about this all the time, when Rain came over and did the office quiz with me, I was watching it, but I hadn't gotten to when Nelly is in the show.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't on my mind. I was just not there yet. And so he asked me a question about Nelly. And also I was nervous as shit. Dwight Schrute sitting in front of my face in my parents' house. And I was 16. Like, oh my God. I was so intimidated and nervous that when he asked me a question about Nelly, I just like, my brain just didn't work. And I just like forgot about her character for 2 seconds. And it
until
was
you said her name,
so
I forgot really what Catherine no Tate's character's name
Nelly
was.
Nelly character yeah. question.
I completely forgot.
Because we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. Okay, here right. we go. Here we go. Office quiz with Billie Eilish.
Uh-huh. Yes. Starting hopefully from easy questions and it'll get
oh
harder.
Oh my God, Cassie.
Okay.
How many questions are there?
There's 10.
Is it just anybody shouted out whoever's first?
I think so.
But then you said, Cassie, if we shouted at the same time, we each get a point and she has tiebreakers at the end.
Okay. Yes.
What? I didn't know any of these rules. Okay. Here we go.
Oh yeah. Sorry. That was a private conversation I had with Cassie. I didn't tell you.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. What body part did Michael accidentally grill because he likes
his
to
foot.
His foot.
Angela got it first.
Okay, I didn't realize we could break in before the question was over.
Yeah, it's true.
See, well, I'm a rule follower. So I know
it's
true. End.
No, it's vicious.
Fine.
I'm slightly right. competitive.
Okay. Number two, besides the bride, who wore white to Phyllis's
Kelly.
Wedding?
Oh! That was Billy. So good. Please.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Three, what does Michael give Toby as a goodbye present?
A rock. It's a brick. It's a brick.
No, it's a okay.
It's a
rock.
It's a rock.
It has a post-it note with a rubber band around.
And
it.
What does the post-it note say?
Suck it.
Suck on this, guys.
Suck on this.
Bitch. Oh my God. Suck it. Suck it is David Wallace's
I know.
Invention.
I knew suck was on it. I knew suck,
suck
was
on
it.
This.
Okay.
All right. Who are the members of the Finer Things Club?
Oscar, Pam,
Toby.
And Toby.
Angela
I just
got
stayed
it.
Quiet on that one. You guys killed it.
All right. Bonus. Who wants to join?
Me, Angela.
No.
Andy.
Ooh. I think Billy
it's
got
literally
it.
Screaming.
I think I just wanted to join in real life.
Okay. What is Stanley's favorite day?
Pretzel day.
I feel like they all Wonderful. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Finally.
All right. In Second Life, Dwight creates a character that is exactly like himself.
But he can fly.
But he can fly.
Yeah.
All right. What's the name of the song Jan keeps playing during dinner party?
That one night.
That one night.
I don't know what the name is. They don't ever talk about the name.
By Hunter.
That one night.
Yeah.
But they never talk about the name. Ever.
Oh, so maybe it's not called
that. It might not be
night.
Called that. It's just that's all you hear.
She Ooh. Could contest that. That's just the song.
All right.
But
listen,
but,
I don't think my point on that one is going to make any yeah. impact on the final score.
Okay.
Who is Gabe often mistaken as?
Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
I was going to say a praying mantis. Did someone say that?
A stick bug. They call him a stick bug.
Oh, gosh.
All right. This is a fill-in-the-blank question.
Oh, gosh.
If Creed can't blank...
Scuba, yeah.
Good one.
What's it all been for?
Yeah.
All right. So right now, the score is Billy has 6. Angela has 4, Jenna has 2.
Oh, wow.
That's so sad.
But that way. I will give you a point for as many names as you can come up with this question.
What?
Name Angela Martin's cats.
Amber,
Sprinkles,
Ash,
Sprinkles,
Bandit,
Lumpy, Bandit.
Garbage.
Garbage.
Well, Garbage, I guess she does keep
Lady
garbage.
Princess.
Princess Lady. Ash.
Diane. Comstock.
Yep.
Oh, Comstock.
Well, okay, but I don't know how many we did. We both were doing.
I said Amber.
We got
Ash,
Sprinkles, Lumpy,
Sprinkles,
Amber,
Bandit,
Ash, Bandit,
Princess Lady,
Diane, Mr. Ash. Right, that's Mr. Ash.
Mr.
Garbage?
Ash.
Did you say garbage?
We got garbage.
So
Sprinkles, obviously.
Mm.
Are there more?
Who are we missing?
There's more.
How many more?
There's like 13, isn't there?
Yeah, there's 14.
What?
Wait.
Yeah, I knew there were like 13.
Yeah, there's
the
eight
one
left.
With the one with the
is there one named Jenny? No.
Does she say them all when Dwight is saying that he doesn't like sleeping on?
No, she only says like 4.
Yeah,
she says
only 4.
Ash, then the Lumpy, other ones, Diane. Oh, there's another one. I'm thinking of what letter does it start with? Give me a letter.
Wait. Is it the one that's humping Princess Lady that we're forgetting, or did we get him?
I think that's Mr. Ash.
Yeah, Mr. Ash.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Mr. Ash. Yes.
Give me one a letter
I'll
that starts with.
I'll say there are two that start with
it's
P.
It's your cats.
Oh, yes.
Two that start with P?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
Oh my God.
Wait. I can, Peter?
Nope.
No.
Paul?
No.
No. Names.
I'm just saying, people.
Okay, wait, Precious?
Wait. Oh.
Princess Lady, Diane, Lumpy, Mr. Ash.
I can so picture
Bandit.
It.
Bandit.
Mm-hmm.
Penny?
No.
I'm just making it up.
I'm trying to think of another P one.
Well, we have a hint.
I have a hint.
You also name your children this.
What?
You name your children this? Like it's a kid name?
Yeah, it's like Angela Martin named her kid after this.
Philip!
Yes!
You have a cat named Philip?
I didn't realize that.
Oh, because you named that's it right. after your cat. That's right. Oh. Because it was named after my grandfather.
But it was named after Angela's cat.
Yes, because you're like, oh, that's named a tricky one. It was named after my cat.
It's after my cat. Oh my God. That's tricky.
Okay, what's our score? What's our tally?
Our score is... Jenna, you still only had 2 points.
What? I said garbage!
Okay, I'll give you one.
No, fine. This is embarrassing.
Okay, fine, you have 3 points.
Angela, you have 7 points.
Woo!
Billy, you have 10 points.
Billy!
Yay!
Well, Billy, thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us. This was an absolute delight. We could talk to you all day.
Me too.
Thank you. Thank
we just
you
love you so much.
We're
so happy to have spent this time with you. Thank
you. I will
you.
Come back whenever you want me.
Yay!
Thanks, guys.
Don't ask questions.
Thank you for listening to Office Ladies. Office Ladies is produced by Earwolf, Jenna Fisher, and Angela Kinsey. Our show is executive produced by Cody Fisher. Our producer is Cassie Jerkins, our sound engineer is Sam Kiefer, and our associate producer is Ainsley Bubico.
Our theme song is Rubber Tree by Creed Bratton. For ad-free versions of Office Ladies, go to StitcherPremium.com. For a free 1-month trial of Stitcher Premium, use code OFFICE.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Capella University is rethinking higher education. With their game-changing FlexPath format, you can earn your degree on your schedule, so you can fit education seamlessly into your life. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.